Well, good morning, Heartland. It's good to see you guys this morning. I tell you, one of the biggest ways that God has grown me as a believer is getting plugged into a local church. When I was 16, I started doing anything and everything I could in a local church, and I have not stopped serving God since, and I have never regretted a second of it. And so if you're not plugged in, I cannot communicate to you enough how much God has for you when you get plugged in and start serving Him to advance His kingdom through the local church. And so I'll just leave it at that. That's not the topic of the morning. So we're in Proverbs this morning again. If you weren't here last week was week two, but there was no power, and it was a very different kind of service, but that was week two in Proverbs. So today we're in our third week in Proverbs. We're going to be talking about character. What is our character, and how do we develop it? Have you ever seen a quality in someone else that you wish you had in yourself? Perhaps someone is a really kind person. You think to yourself, I wish I was more like that. Maybe somebody's really good at handling a lot of pressure, and you say, that's good. I wish I was more patient under pressure like that. Or maybe someone is really thoughtful, and you say, I wish I was more like that. I know for me, that's one personal one. I know a lot of thoughtful people, and it's always been this thing in my heart to say, I wish I was more thoughtful. I'm not naturally a thoughtful person. I kind of live out in space and don't notice the needs and wants of other people a lot. So it's something I personally want to grow in. But the issue is that we all have areas, whatever it is, we all have areas we want to grow in, that we want to develop, that we want to become more like Jesus in. And so the issue is how we often go about trying to change is a little bit backwards. Now there's two ways you can go about changing. One is you can change what you do to try to change who you are. You can change what you do to change who you are. The other one is we can change who we are to change what we do. And they sound a lot alike, but they're dramatically different. So that first one is the one that we tend to lean towards, is we try to change what we do in order to change who we are. And that means that we tend to look at our actions and our behaviors and the things that we do in our lives more than we look at why we do what we do and the motivations behind the things that we do. That just tends to be the natural one that we drift toward as human beings. Now, is that good or bad? Let me give you an example, and then we'll see about an answer. Let's say that your blood boils pretty close to the surface, meaning that you are a person who struggles with anger regularly, that, I mean, you cannot help it. There's just people are so, whatever the word is, that you just blow up on them. They just get under your skin, and you're just always a little bit right there ready to blow up on somebody. But you're done with that. You know that it's hurting your relationships, and it's making you feel awful, and so you're saying, I'm done with this. I don't want to be an angry person anymore. I don't want to blow up on people all the time. I want to become a more patient person. So the process often looks like this. Okay, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop being angry. Okay, so you wake up in the morning, you're ready to go. You're motivated. I am not going to do it anymore. Today is not going to be an angry day. So you get up, get out of bed, and first thing, you stub your toe. Not going to be an angry day. Not today. So you get out of bed, and everything's okay after that. You get in your car, start the engine up. Your car is on empty after you told your teenager to fill it up. Still not going to do it. I'm okay. I'm okay. We're gonna make it. It's been 15 minutes. We're going to make it. So you get on the road and you start driving. People do what they do. But hey, you are doing great because you hold it in and you don't blow up. You don't honk your horn. You don't let anybody know. You just squeeze the wheel a little bit tighter and go to work. Then you get to work. You get out and you go in, sit at your station. Everything's okay so far. You're doing your work. But then that coworker that you can't stand walks by like they always do, not paying attention to anything, and they knock your coffee off your desk. Your life juice in the morning off your desk. And it hits the floor, and the cup breaks, and there's coffee everywhere. Deep, deep breath. You're still alive after not tackling them. Everything's okay. This is really going well. So you make it through the whole day, and you did not blow up or lash out or show any kind of anger towards anybody. Day one is a success. Now let me ask you this. How many days can you keep that going? What kind of a burden is it to live like that? To try to look at change only from our behavior is absolutely miserable. You have to keep up with all these different things. Every second of your life, you have to be like, don't get angry, don't get angry. And that's just one area in your life, not to mention all the other ones. Believe it or not, there's other ones. And so that's just one area. It's a burden. And trying to change like that is honestly not ever going to work. It's not going to accomplish anything because that's an outside-in kind of change. And what that means is we're trying to change something on the inside that's broken by fixing something on the outside. And it's just never going to work. It's a very short-lived change. Even if you could become a more patient person, most likely it's only going to last for a very short time. But what if I could offer to you this morning that there is a better, longer-lasting, and more effective way to change? And that is the second one that we talked about here a second ago. And this is our main idea for this morning. A better you comes from developing your character, not just your conduct. A better you comes from developing your character, not just your conduct. I love the teaching of Jesus for a lot of different reasons, but I love this verse, and it characterizes so much of what he tried to teach people in the New Testament. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What that means is that your heart and your character and who you are as a person are what we really need to focus on. Because when we can change the inside, when our change goes deeper than just the surface, and we really start to get to the issues of what's really going on inside of us, that's when the outside starts to change. And Jesus taught that if you really want to change your life, you have to change your heart. You have to go after your character, not just your conduct. We've been in Proverbs for the past couple weeks, and one really important thing about Proverbs that you need to understand is that it's not just a book of rules. Now, if you read Proverbs 1:1 to 31, whatever the last verse is, then you will see a lot of things in there where Solomon says, do this, don't do this, a wise person does this and this, and on. There's a lot of rules, seemingly rules, but the goal of Solomon and the other writers in Proverbs is not to give you a rule book, but it's to give you a pattern for what a godly, wise person looks like. So the goal is not just keeping a bunch of rules. The goal is to develop our character. It's to learn to think differently, to learn to change the way we see our lives and the world around us. And when we think differently and our character is transformed, then our conduct will be changed as well. So we're going to look at two things this morning. We're going to look at what is character and how do we develop it. So number one, what is character? The dictionary definition of character is the moral qualities that are distinctive to a person. Meaning it's the moral qualities that sum up who a person really is on the inside. The moral qualities that sum up who a person really is on the inside. So character is the things that you really believe and value that show themselves through the behaviors in your lives, in your moment-to-moment life. This is a pattern of life. Everybody can have a good day. But who are you when no one's watching? Who are you in default mode? Who are you when all the walls are down, all the masks are off, and you're just living life? When you are being yourself, who are you? What's your pattern of living? That's a good definition for character. So who I am on the inside affects what I do on the outside. It's who I am that drives what I do. And so in the way that we speak and the things that we do every day, we can't help but let our character shine through of who we really are. Proverbs 4:23, I love this verse. It says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." I love the way the NIV puts it. It says, "Guard your heart with everything you have, for from your heart comes everything else you do." It's just an amazing thought there. And what Solomon's saying is keep or guard your heart. Why? Because everything about your life, all the patterns of behavior, all the things that you do and you say and you think, they come from this one control center, the heart. So think about a vehicle for a second. A car or a truck don't naturally decide where they're going to go or how fast they're going to go. They need a driver to steer them. And in a very real way, your heart is the driver to everything else in your life. It's the one that determines how we think, how we speak, and what we do. Who we are below the surface drives what we do in life. Another way that Proverbs talks about this is that my character is the way that I'm known by the people in my life. And let me just kind of clarify there. The people in your life are not just people that see you, because we all have people that don't like us. And if you want to know, like, you can be a perfect person and somebody's still not going to like you. Jesus is a good example of that. The Apostle Paul's a good example of that. Both of them were killed and they lived pretty sweet lives that I would take any day. So they're good examples, but the people in your life that really know you, the people in your life who really know the real you, what do they think about when they think about you? What do they think about when they hear your name? Are you a humble person? Are you a gracious person? Are you a forgiving person? Do you have integrity? Are you honest? Some good questions to ask yourself. Are you the friend that you would want to be friends with? Are you the kind of neighbor that you would want to live by? Are you the kind of boss at work that you would want to work for? And all these questions get us thinking about our regular pattern of life that shows who we are, shows our character. Proverbs 22:1 says this, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches." A good name, literally that phrase right there means it's the deep character that you put off every day that people know you by. A good name, your reputation with people, the way that they see you, is to be chosen rather than great riches. Solomon says, if you have to pick between money and no character, or godly character and money, he says, choose godly character every time. Why? Because godly character is the path to get you all the things you're looking for in life that really matter. Solomon says, quit chasing after the empty pursuits, because having a pocket full of money will not give you anything ultimately. It might be able to give you a few things temporarily, but if your life is built on things that matter, it's godly character that's going to get you where you want to be and not money. And so he says, if you have to choose, pick a good name, pick a godly character that shines who God is in your life, who shines the change that you're experiencing. There's another verse in Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 7. I love this. It's along the same lines. It says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot." The memory of the righteous is a blessing. When people think about us and they remember us in their mind, it's a very sobering question to wonder, am I still a blessing long after I'm away from them? Whether that's just in location, or even after I die, how are people going to remember me and my character? I have a friend who lives in Uganda, and I got to know him over several years through going back and forth to Uganda, and we became really good friends, and I cannot tell you the impact his humility has had on me. I mean, this young man is the most humble person I think I've ever met. I mean, he's just one of those people that you just want to be like. And every time I think about him, I'm challenged and I'm humbled by him and I'm encouraged. He's a blessing when I think about him because of his character. I think about a pastor who used to meet with me and used to show me what it means to be a godly man and to be filled with the Spirit and to depend on Christ daily. And every time I think about him, it encourages me and it builds me up. His memory is a blessing. I think about my grandmother who passed away several years ago, but every time I think about her, I remember how faithful, how kind, and what a godly woman she was, and I wish that God would let me be half the person that she was in my relationship with him. You see, in all these people, their memory lives on and impacts people because your character is bigger than just you. Your character affects the people around you. It affects the people that are coming down the line, the future generations. Our character is big. And so Solomon here says, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. What do you want to be remembered for? Do you want to know that you made a real difference with your life, with the moments that you had, with the people that you had them with? Well, wherever you are this morning, there's good news, because whether you're doing all right or whether you're a mess, this morning there is hope that our character is not over yet. Who you are is not who you are, period. And I love that, because the Bible is a book of redemption. The Bible is a book of change. The Bible is a book of hope that says we have a God who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or even imagine. And so today we can stand before Almighty God and say, Lord, here's my mess. Is there any hope? And God says, absolutely, if you're ready to do this. So it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you grew up in. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Your hope today is there is an Almighty God that says, come to me. I can handle absolutely everything. So let's believe that as we continue to think about this. So how do I develop my character? How do I develop my character? Here's five key areas that all come from Proverbs about helping to develop our character. How do we develop our character? Number one is resolve to change. Now, we've all been motivated to change before. You do something really dumb and you have that moment right after that's like, I am never going to do that again. Or, you know, all those kind of moments, or maybe, you know, you've had this pattern and you just, one morning at church, there's a good feeling and you're like, yeah, I need to make a change. And so you just make a quick decision. There's a proverb here in chapter 21, verse 5. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. See, the issue is we've all done this. We've all been motivated to change and made a quick decision to change and fallen through. I've done it a billion times. I'm not going to do that anymore, yet the next day, here you are. I'm not going to be like that anymore, but here you are. Lord, I promise this is the last time, yet time and time again, here we are. So we have to have more than just this flippant decision, this flippant thing that says, I'm just not going to do this anymore. We have to have a resolve that says, my life is gone. My life is given away. Lord, here I am. I'm done. It's not about me. I'm at the end of myself, and here is my life. That resolve that says, Lord, everything is on the table. Do what you want with it. And that's that diligence you've got to know. Because when you decide to get serious about changing your character, developing who you are, becoming more like Jesus, it is hard. And you need more than just a little motivation. It's got to be a diligent resolve where you say, God, I'm surrendered to you. I've counted the cost. I'm all in. Number two, search your heart. We have to take the time to ask why. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we struggle with the things that we struggle with? Why am I doing this? Not just what am I doing, but what are my motivations? Why am I doing what I'm doing? We mentioned it earlier, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The reality is that too often we don't slow down like David in Psalm 139 and say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. Lord, show me what's on the inside. Show me why I'm doing the things I'm doing. What is wrong? What is going on? I want to do more than just put a Band-Aid on my behavior. I want to see a change in my heart. So we need to search our hearts. So the third thing is seek the Lord. Now, this may sound like a given, but there's this tendency in every person on planet Earth, and that's to fix ourselves in our own strength. See, we get that idea that says, I'm going to change, I'm going to be different, I'm going to do something different that I haven't done this time. And what's common about all of those is it's I. I'm going to be different. I'm going to make a change. I'm not going to do that anymore. And what the Bible spends, the entire Bible spends its time on, is showing you that you need something other than you. And I need something other than me. That we need to seek the Lord and realize that the greatest freedom and change is not found in what we can do, but it's found when we surrender to an Almighty God who can actually change us. And that's where the real power is found, is when we see the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we actually have the Holy Spirit of God in us, saying that He can work, He can provide, He can give us strength, He can give us true change. So we depend on God. We look to Him. We run away from self-help and self-effort, and we cling to Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way. meaning we can have that resolve. This is where I want to see my life go, but the Lord establishes his steps. It's God who gives us power to change. It's God who comes and says, let me do for you what you could never do for yourself. And so then that brings us to the fourth thing, is we have to learn how to live by faith. Now this is the part where I sound like I'm contradicting myself, if I haven't already. But in order to develop your character, you have to live it out. Okay, developing your character is not just all up here. It's not just like, okay, great, I'm a perfect person. I still live my life in an awful way, but I'm a perfect person. You have to live it out. So your actions play a big role in becoming more like Christ. But here's the big difference, is your actions aren't what are making you more like Jesus. Your actions are showing that you are becoming more like Jesus. Your actions are showing that God is inside of you, that he's changing you, that he's working in you, that he is really changing your heart, changing your character. Let me give you Proverbs 8:32, and then I'll give you an example. Proverbs 8:32 says, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. So wisdom in this verse calls out and says, don't just hear what I say, listen to it, take it in, let it be part of your life, let it become who you are. And how do you do that? By keeping my ways. It's by living it out that it shows you're actually believing that God is changing you. And so the key to all of this is gaining that right perspective of works, that it's works show my faith, it's not faith creating works. I mean, anyways, I'm going to get myself mixed up if I start saying it too many different ways. So wisdom, the real key to all this is learning to think rightly and then live your life with the right perspective. So let me give you an example to make sure I haven't made it too muddy. Okay, so several months ago when we first started the New Beginnings campaign, me and my wife, Christy, and our family were thinking about that question, what does sacrifice look like for us? And I really thought we were pretty generous people. I mean, we had been giving faithfully to the Lord and to other ministries, and just felt like, if you ask me, are you a generous person? I'm not the most generous, but yeah, I'm pretty generous. And so then we had to start praying about, what does sacrifice look like for you? And it wasn't anything that Brian brought up or made me do, but it was the Lord who gave me a number, and it was a number that I was uncomfortable with. And I was like, I don't know how that's possible. Or why you would call me to give that, God. And at that point, I realized my generosity had a limit. And I started to realize that, well, if we give that much, then we can't do that. And if we give that much, then I'm not going to be able to get that. And I started realizing all the things, like, I didn't want to give that amount. And so I'm thinking, like, is there another way we can do this? But look, I know the truth. I mean, I think about this stuff all the time. I knew that, like, I'm going to be miserable if I try to pretend the Lord didn't already answer my question. If I'm like, well, maybe I just misheard him and it's, you know, this much. I know that's not going to work. And so what I do, I needed to slow down and start figuring this out. Number one, what's wrong with me? And so I started with surrender to God. Lord, something's wrong. This is not right for me to say I can't give you what's already yours. There's a problem here. And so I resolved that, Lord, I need to change here. And I'm not okay with just sneaking by, but I want to change. I want to become a more generous person. So I began to search my heart, pray, God, show me what's going on. Show me why I'm struggling with this. And I started to realize through the Holy Spirit that there were other things in my life that I honestly wanted more than I wanted Jesus. There were things that I wanted for myself more than I wanted the kingdom of God, more than I wanted to see what he had march forward. And so God really started to convict me of that. And I saw there's some real issues here about why I don't want to be generous. So I sought the Lord. I repented and turned to him and was, God, forgive me of that spirit of wanting anything else. Help me to really believe that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. And that was not a one-day process. I'll be honest, it took several weeks of wrestling with the Lord. And over and over and over. And what he kept bringing me back to is this truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he gave absolutely everything away, his very life, that I could live. And the more that I allowed that to move me, the more I allowed that to change me and to stretch me and to become more and more real to my heart, the more I started to feel my grip on this world loosen. And I cared less and less about the money, less and less about stuff, and more about really loving Jesus, seeing Him move forward. So then what did I do? As I really started feeling that change in there, it was time to put it in action. Okay, if the Lord's really making me a more generous person, it's time to take some steps. And so we started really reworking our budget and looking at how we're going to do this. We're going to put sacrifice first, and whatever we don't have room for, we don't have room for, and it's going to be fine. And man, God brought this freedom into that moment, and we were able to let go of this world more than we ever have and to cling to Jesus. And do you know what I found? The big difference, because I could have given money no matter what. I mean, I could have done the action and, you know, and called it sacrifice, but I would have been miserable. It would have been awful. Every time we gave, I'd have been like, ugh, here, Lord. And I believe that there's somewhere in 2 Corinthians 9 that says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And so I knew that that's not going to work. I'm not going to be miserable for the next 2 years. And so through this process, the Lord actually made it a joy and a privilege. And every time we give to New Beginnings, it is a blessing to us. And I can't explain that other than God has changed our character. He has stretched us to love Him more in that area of our lives. And I could go on and on with other examples. I mean, you all have moments and opportunities in your life for these same kind of things. But the point here is that we have to, at some point, we have to put our character into action. And live by faith. The last one is let others help. And I can't overstate the importance of letting other people join you in this process. Other people can see things in your life that you can't see. They can see things in my life that I can't see. And when you surround yourself with godly people that care about seeing you become more like Jesus, man, that is just a good idea. And that's why Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The process of sharpening iron is beating the iron together, beating it until it starts to change. And that is a difficult and painful process. But when you bring other people into your life, it's not going to be easy. But you need people that aren't just there to pat you on the back, but people that really love you enough to say, hey, that's a problem that you need to work on. Man, I can't tell you the amount of people I've had that have helped develop my character because they cared enough to tell me of a real situation that was going on in my life. We need people like that. At the end of the day, if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and God's people on the outside of you working together to make you like Jesus, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. So here's the question we need to answer this morning. Wherever you are, there's a next step for each one of us. Which of these five things do you need to work on this week? More than that, which of these five things will you work on this week? Maybe for you, it's just starting at the very beginning. You need to resolve to change. Lord, I am not okay just floating through my life being who I am. I want to be more and more like Jesus. So here's my resolve on the table today, Lord. I'm surrendering. My life is yours. I want to see Jesus more and more coming out of me. Or maybe you need to spend some time searching your heart. God, why am I struggling with this area? Why am I doing these things? Lord, show me what's going on. Show me where I'm loving something more than Jesus, where I'm trusting in something other than you. Maybe you need to seek the Lord this morning. Trust in His power and His strength. Say, Lord, I've trusted too much in what I can do and not enough in what you can do in me. Or maybe you need to ask someone else to help you this morning. Maybe you just need that community in your life to say, I just need someone I can talk to. Someone that can help me see things maybe I'm not seeing. Whatever it is, there's a next step for each one of us. And I want to encourage you to start on that this week. Just pick one. If nothing else, just pick one and say, I'm going to start with this small step to say, I'm not okay just being the same. I want to be more and more like Jesus. So I'm going to start that process this week. I want to share one more thing with you and then we'll wrap up. The reason that real change is possible, the reason that real hope is always available, that you are not too far gone this morning, that no one is beyond change, is because of this. It's because change is bigger than just you, and it's bigger than just me. Jesus Christ was absolutely flawless And he came and he walked this earth. He did everything right. His character was absolutely perfect. He had the best name that you could have, but people didn't run to him and praise him. People hated him, cursed and despised him, and ultimately murdered him. Now, Jesus knew that was going to happen. So why would he do that? Why would he come and allow that to happen? Because Jesus did not come to earth to be your example. He did not come to earth to show you, just to show you, how to live a good life, how to be a good man, how to be a good woman. Jesus knew that real change is not going to happen if he just shows you some stuff to do. Real change is not going to come through you just trying to follow in his steps. He knew that to really change you, something other than example had to happen. For you to really love him, he had to be more than an example. For you to really be set free from the power of sin and to be given real life and hope and freedom, Jesus knew that he had to become your Savior. And he knew that he didn't need to come show you the way. He needed to be the way by taking your place. In Romans chapter 8, it says that we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what that means is that God is so committed to your life change that you could never be as committed to it as he is. And he proved it when he sent his son to enter your place. He took every sin, he took every wrong, he took every flaw, he took every failure, and he said, "It's on me," and he gave you his perfection. And when he gave you his perfection, he said, "You have been set free to go and to live a different life, a different future. Nothing can stop you because God is for you." So don't dare look at your life and say, "Lord, how can I ever be anything else?" God says, "How can you not be if I'm the one helping you?" So let us believe that this morning, Lord. Let us take hold of the gospel in a fresh way to see that we are not just talking about being better people. We are talking about being transformed people. And we're going to enter into a time of response now, and I just want to pray that